Okay, here we go. Let me ask my question again. Bill, you've just come from experiencing the Nazi Bell and whatever else was up there.
You can take two on that, because I wasn't experiencing the Nazi Bell. I went to take a look at the henge.
Okay.
So start again.
Okay.
You don't know what you're doing, right? You have no idea what's going on. Go on.
No, that's not true. Stop it.
Okay.
Maybe I don't like it. Okay. So, you just came back from experiencing the henge and the surrounding area. What can you tell me? Was it spooky?
It was a visual experience, because the thing was larger than I had ever imagined it to be. Because on the internet, you see these little tiny pictures taken with a wide-angle lens when it wasn't nearly so overgrown. And when you're underneath this thing, this is a huge, huge thing. It's supported on these big pillars that are far larger than a man. And the whole thing is a very dramatic object indeed, right in the middle of these woods. It took us a long time to get there because the snow is about a foot thick and there are a lot of fallen trees and branches and things. You've got to bushwhack your way through it. And you never know.
But in the picture, it looks like it's out in the middle of an open area with cement.
Those pictures were taken a very long time ago.
I see. Yeah, and now it's become overgrown?
It's completely overgrown. You'd never find this thing unless you knew exactly where to look.
Okay. So they used prisoners, though, up there. Isn't that true?
This is forced labor. The Nazis used forced labor in many of their factories, and this is how come they were able to establish such an efficient industrial machine. Because they were working in a totalitarian environment under conditions of huge brutality. And if there's any residue of bad feeling in these areas, it can be easily understood, because a lot of people suffered hugely in those places in ways that I don't think we can imagine these days. Why people come to a place like this is because we all have a fascination for our own unknown history. This is why Americans come to Europe. This is why we go to visit ancient castles. This is why you went to Egypt. It's to answer questions that we may not even have properly formulated, but there's a sense of the unknown in our own minds, and it's like an itch that you have to scratch, however dark it may be. And so there's this kind of grim fascination with what is it that we're all jointly responsible for in our society, in our civilization? What is it that, you know, that we're trying to whitewash over these days? And maybe there are clues here to how savage mankind can be, and it may be very valuable for us to be reminded of that, even in this day and age where life feels so comfortable, where life feels so easy, where things feel so safe. Maybe that's an illusion. Maybe it's appropriate for us to remind ourselves about, you know, how man's inhumanity to man is always there, like a dormant volcano. So this is Bill Ryan from Project Camelot, and it's the 15th of October, 2009. And I'll repeat the month again, it's October, it's not December. So Robert Felix from Ice Age Now would be quite interested in the strange anomalous weather that we've been experiencing here. This is pretty unusual stuff. We've got quite a few inches of snow, maybe even up to a foot in places. And what you can see behind me here, of my left shoulder, is this object that has become a sort of an iconic representation for all that is not yet fully understood about the Nazi technology, the advanced technology, that there is a lot of evidence that is gradually being accumulated by Igor Witkowski and others, that during the Second World War, the Nazis were experimenting with things that even now, 60 years later, we might not fully understand in the public domain. And a little later on in this video, you'll be seeing us talking with Igor in detail about the evidence that he's amassed to suggest very strongly to many other researchers that the Nazis were doing something very, very strange, and that this project here, which has become known as the Nazi Bell, may well have been the most top secret of all their top secret projects. And we've just been battling our way through the woods in the snow, as you have seen. And the first thing that struck me is that this structure here is enormous. I've seen photographs of it on the internet, as many of you watching this video will have done also. And I had not been prepared for something that was quite this large. We'll be talking with Igor later about what this was. It bears some strong resemblance to water towers, But Igor has done a lot of research in this area, and we don't actually know for sure what it was used for. It's not the only piece of evidence at all which suggests the reality of these experiments that the Nazis were doing. It's interesting and it's visible, and as you can see here, it's pretty dramatic, but actually the core, the solid core of the evidence that suggests the reality of what the Nazis were doing actually lies elsewhere.
They shut these people in the mountain and they killed them with a chemical weapon before they closed the mountain door so that they couldn't escape, even if they were able to crawl through the tunnels or something of that nature. So it's really quite a dark scenario. The whole area feels dark. I mean, it felt dark since we arrived. I don't think it's my imagination that the deeper you go in, the darker it feels. I don't actually know if it comes out any better in this. Of course, we can't read Polish, but apparently they put up a plaque in 1994. So it's not all that long ago.